now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is a dear friend, Leonie David. Leonie David is a medical intuitive. Her website is leoniedavid.com, and we will provide all of her website information on our YouTube channel and on our website. I've known Leonie for some time. She'll go into all this, time permitting. What she specializes in is detaching energetic cords, detaching entities, detaching things that don't belong, that have lodged themselves into our auric fields, into our very physical anatomy, into our energy bodies. So this is important, timely stuff, and it ties in with everything that's going on the surface today, excuse me, and in truth throughout the cosmos. So without any further ado, Leonie, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thanks, James. Thanks for inviting me. It's been a while, hasn't it? It's been about 5 years, and I finally sort of got to that point of actually coming in and talking to you. Yeah.
Yes, and I can vouch for the validity of your work because I've benefited greatly from your work when I was under a spiritual warfare attack, and also the periodic tune-ups, for lack of a better term, that you do on my energy bodies and my physical anatomy. Excuse me, early morning asthma congestion issues over here. They've really been, as you know, Leonie, they've been chemtrailing the hell out of this place.
Yeah, also, and the weather's shocking.
Yeah, so the weather's been shocking up and down. So tell us a bit about yourself, Leonie, and your voyage of discovery that, you know, and the milestones that led you to this point.
Okay, thanks, James. Okay, so you've introduced me, and yes, I'm a healer, a spiritual healer, vibrational healer, and a medical intuitive. And I also am a spiritual geneticist. I chase genetic lines. And those particular genetic lines can be due to genetic karma, something back in the past, something that's actually coming in the past, which is impacting people today. So we trace that. We actually can go and clear it if we need to. And sometimes it's people's own karma. And this is how we find out a lot of stuff about how people got to this point, why they may be ill, why they carry a genetic illness, and a whole range of things. So tracing it back is one of my key things, and tracing why people have come to this world and why they're here. So I'm about people and their souls, their soul journey, and finding out why on earth they've chosen to come here, certainly at this time in history. So that's generally what I do. And yes, I've got quite a number of clients who are people who've experienced these issues of dealing with extraterrestrials, dealing with abductions, the fallout as a result of that. But of course, then there's a whole range of other people who, you know, just the general people who just are unwell, unhappy, or needing to work their own transformation. So yeah, that's generally what I do. But I've been doing this for, you know, possibly about, well, I've been going with this for about nearly 40 years with what I'm doing. And of course, now I know why I've got to this point. It tends to be a very key reason about why I do what I do. And so one of the things that I've experienced throughout my life is that, I grew up on a sugarcane farm in Queensland, and my mother had many memories of lights in the sky, seeing actually extraterrestrial crafts in the sky. And of course, in those days, there was a lot of memories of patches where there'd been landings in the cane as well. And she actually has a lot of memories of that. And I think she probably also had a lot of memories of being somewhat very, very fearful, because at some level she knew that her own children were at risk. And that was me. And it was also my brother. And in later years, I realized it's not just about me, my brother. It probably was a whole family line that these particular types actually came in and investigated, took off, tormented, whatever, because it really came down to that, understanding that. And even in my mother's later years, she has a memory of thinking there was something in the backyard, looking out, and there was lights, and it was vibrating the whole house, Or another time where she then, oh, there's something out there. She went and had a look out on the back steps, and she was living by herself at that point. And there was a like a cube of energy. And as she looked at it, it started to move towards her. And she shut the door quickly, rushed in inside, and there was red light coming under the door. And as she rushed to the bedroom, shut that door, there was they actually had got in the house and there was red light. And she said the pain in her ears was absolutely phenomenal. And that was just one particular incident for her. And there was other incidents where she actually realized that she'd wake up and there'd be something standing by the bed. Right? Now, I don't necessarily think they were looking specifically for my mother, but she was on their noted people issue. So was myself, my brother, my father also, and my grandmother, I believe. So there was a lot of that sort of issue that came up during my childhood and then into my teens and then as I moved through. And it's only been probably since probably the early 1990s through about till about 2003 where I had a lot of experiences. So these particular experiences for me were particularly waking up in the early hours of the morning and something was shoving something in my ear. And after that, I had the worst, it was just an awful virus that I had. I was as sick as a dog in that particular one. And I think they'd shoved something, a virus in my ears. It took me weeks and weeks to get over it. And when I told a friend, she said, oh, I'm getting one of those pictures, those images of, you know, where they beam me up, Scotty, they've got the cow down there and the cows are being beamed up. She said, I think you've had some sort of interference from extraterrestrials. And I think, look, I said, yeah, you are right. And it's not the first time. Okay. So there was that sort of experience. And then there was one particular time my children were out on the trampoline and on dusk. So, you know, the weather was fine. And all of a sudden I couldn't hear their talk and their laughter. And I had an absolute shock that I couldn't hear them. I rushed out, couldn't see them, rushed around the house, couldn't see them, rushed outside, couldn't see them, looked up and down the street, couldn't see them. And it was like, oh my God, you know, they had actually just disappeared off the trampoline. And I just stayed for a moment and I said, you do not have permission to take my children. You do not have permission. I am yelling that to you now. Listen to me. Bring them back. You do not have permission. And it was almost like I just kept breathing for another, you know, 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, bang, they were back. It was just that short period of time. But in hindsight, I looked at those particular times and they were gone for a long time in time. But in our time, they brought them back within moments of being taken. And that's, of course, the similar experience for probably many of us. We were whipped off, been away for a while, and then actually came back again to, you know, pretty much within that time space of when we've been taken. So there's a lot of those particular memories just in this later part of the year. But, you know, generally about probably around about the early 2000s, I started to really get more experience of those. And it was almost working as a healer, I was working in a particular clinic. Another guy walked in who was another, I don't know, I think he was a psychic reader or something. So he walked in and all of a sudden it was like I had this energy charged towards me, and then I realized there was two little guys standing in the room with me. And I had so much trouble getting rid of them. They it's almost like they'd lost me, they'd found me again, and then they did nothing but, you know, really just interfere with my energy systems, plant things around the house, always coming in. I'd see little bings of light next to me and things like that where they'd actually come through a dimension, just like a little spy hole. So there was any number of those particular characters. And probably a little bit earlier than that, I had another experience where It was, I moved into an, another, I moved into a new house. I was there by myself. My children were elsewhere at the time. And at the same time, there'd been a lot of sightings. This was in Canberra, actually, Canberra, Australia. There'd been a lot of sightings in the air, and people actually, noting that they were driving along and they'd see lights, and then all of a sudden they felt like they'd actually lost time. So there was those particular memories. And then one night, I knew I'd lock the house, but I became one of those. I felt frozen in the bed. I could not move. There was something in the room, and I could hear voices around me. It was so incredibly, like, it's such a terrible feeling when you cannot move and you know that there's something there, right? And the next minute, I got this really big bang on my forehead, right? And it was like enough to sort of bring me out of it. And then all of a sudden, I could feel there was a scuffle, and they got out the door. And when I realized that particular situation, I was actually, there was somebody definitely in the room then. So managed to turn the light on, kept the light on for the rest of the night. And in the morning, I realized I had burn marks all over my forehead. And I believe they'd actually taken like a laser template of my brain in that particular experience. So many of those particular things, and feeling like sometimes like you really had no safety at all. There was always something watching, something observing. Took me a while to realize I probably had implants in me that they could easily track me, right? So I was, and it was in 2003 that a particular voice came through to me and reminded me that my mind was out there in the universe. And this particular big voice said, "If I can see you, the reptiles can see you as well." And it was like, oh, okay. And so how could I hear this particular person, right? How was I hearing this person? I didn't feel afraid with him, and I didn't feel like that this is something I had to be very, very clear about, other than, hang on, there's something I need to pay attention to here. These particular messages I'm getting, where is it coming from? And it was probably around the same time as my experience with the little guys that came into the clinic I was working at. And when I realized that these little guys are hybrids, right? They are hybridized beings. The nature of them is mercenary. They're smallish, and they have a role that they play for whoever they work for, and they have no conscience, no real goodness and light that they actually have to do that. So there's, and they are very annoying, to be honest. And it's like, am I a threat from these? And it's taken me a long time to realize that perhaps I could be, and I have been, right? And when I finally realized who the person was that was speaking to me, bearing in mind that I'm really highly clairvoyant, clairaudient as well. That's how I do what I do, right? I met that a particular person who was part of the whole process of my earlier abductions, right? Now, I don't believe that was all of my abductions, because some of my memories were of being with my brother at the time on a sugarcane farm right back in my childhood, and remembering little grey hands on me. And his memories were going into this spaceship and seeing somebody on a slab, and there's this big mantid type thing that was there in there, as well as these grey beings. So I believe I've had those grey memories, and I've had shouted out to them about, no, I'm not giving you permission on this one. You're not going to actually do this. And then in these other characters, it was realizing that they are going to be interfering with me, so I've got to just get real. I've got to get used to the idea. So safety and protection was always key in my mind on that one. And yeah, probably moved about 30 times in my life because of, a range of these situations happening and not feeling safe. I'm like, I'm done with this place. I need to go. I can't deal with it. There is too much interference. And but they end up finding me, and that's when I realized that I had implants and am able to remove the implants myself. Right? So when you get a removal of the implants, there was less interference, but there was one part that I thought, I'm still being tracked. I know they're watching me. I know they're catching up with me. And it was like, no, we don't want you to move that bit. That's a little beat behind your heart there. That's a little signal that we need to keep there, because we don't want to lose track of you. I said, what gives you permission to keep tracking me? Because you are part of our soul family. So it's like, whoa, okay. And it was almost like, well, you'll start remembering why you were part of this and why you are actually being one of these beings that we're really quite interested in keeping as part of our team. And so, and that's understanding that you, I thought, well, okay. And the other message was, why do you think you have such strong capacity in what you do? And it's because, well, pretty much having that stimulation of being in a six-dimensional frequency, a higher frequency than 3D, and connecting with a whole lot of other things that were not necessary 3D relativity, it actually has stimulated parts of my brain differently. And I think that's with many people who've been abducted and taken to other frequencies, other dimensions. They are actually, they have a different way of perceiving things. Their capability is much stronger than somebody else. Right? So ultimately that process that will come through is a very much more capable capacity to see things differently, perceive things differently, see in another dimension as well. Because if you don't have that experience and the capability, the interaction in your brain, it hasn't developed, right? So this is looking at it like this. So you know, there's no point in dying in a ditch over it. I might as well use what I've got and the capacity I've got to actually work with. So it's been one of those interesting experiences, which is, okay, well, and it's a whole other story about how I've understood why I'm like this and how the people that have watched me all the time, they are not greys. They are not reptilians. They are not actually part of an enemy force in that sense. However, my bugbear has always been, well, you know, what gives you permission to take me? And that's always been one of those things that they don't anymore, because they don't need to. They know that I know that I know that they know. So it's kind of like that. And quite often, most of the time, there is something around this area where I live. I think I probably mentioned more recently, there's been over the lake, there's been a ship that sits there pretty much stationary. Might drift over the other side onto the next lake. But these particular beings, they're keeping watch. They're making sure that nothing else comes and that is of a dangerous type that connects into my system. That's the way I see it anyway, because I've had that interaction with them. So it's, for me, it's I work telepathically with these particular people that might be on one of these ships. And they may be any number of ships, right? They may be a small craft, about the size of a small car. They might be bigger craft that have a number of people that are working on them. And they may have different roles. And some of my experiences may be totally different to somebody else's experience. I've got people who've had absolutely horrendous experiences more than mine, even though I still have some major disturbing situations as a result of the abductions I've had. So yeah, everybody's got their story. Everybody's got something that they, if they have been part of this process, that they have to remember and to decide, well, you know, why on earth have I been part of it? So where do we sort of fit in? I mean, I work with healing. I work with vibrational healing, spiritual healing. I work with spirit, right? I work with souls. I work with love and I work with light. But in terms of being, and what I sort of see is a lot of people who are part of that love and light brigade, I think probably they really they really misunderstand the process. Some of us really need to understand that there's not just about love and light. There is some things that many of us really need to step up, either be the warriors of light or be the strategists to make sure that this human species that we're a part of, that we've chosen to be a part of as souls, actually do have a... we need to do our bit, right? And I think the Love and Light Brigade, those who believe that, look, you just go with it. Love will always bring us through. I mean, and I say myself, the light always wins. That's the law. The love always wins. That's the law. We still have to hold that perspective. But that is, in some sense, a little bit too soft. We need to be able to go hold that view, hold that perspective, but also realize that there are many other species around that aren't of that same agenda, right? And I think we've probably mentioned it a couple of times about, you know, what on earth do people, you know, realize that they're involved with here. That I see people as think it's really, really cool to go and interact with, you know, extraterrestrials. And I'm going, ooh, do you know who you're talking to? Hey, it may not necessarily be the best thing for you. If you don't know the fundamentals of this, you know, don't go there, you know. So... yeah, so yes, they're doing their bit, and I think it needs a lot of those people doing their bit to believe and hold the love and light, but it also needs others to go, yes, we are part of that, but there's another agenda that we really have to understand is one of the things that is part of our own growth and understanding as souls and beings. Yeah. So yeah, there's this... And I think I'll just have some water. I'm talking so much. So, and I think this whole issue of everybody ascending to the fifth dimension type stuff, I mean, understandably, it's like, oh, yeah, we're looking for a better life. We're looking for a better story and everything that goes with it. But really, there's getting to clarify this. There is a spiritual sort of dimension here, and that's this fifth dimension thing of love, special sacred relationships, the fabric of relationships, unifying connectedness and consciousness with other beings in the universe, and, you know, some sort of altruistic commitment. To be there for care and service and give themselves and whatever. Now, in terms of that as a fifth dimensional concept, sure, right? However, that if your people are raising their vibration to that fifth dimensional frequency, call it ascension if you like, right? I don't think it's all going to be absolutely wonderful, beautiful. Because the reality is when you get, if you get to those levels and think you're in this wonderful spiritual fifth dimensional reality, and I have to say there are actually people who are raised into that vibration themselves. You know, if I walk outside this house, quite definitely, I'm definitely out of my own frequency and dimension. I'm having to go into a 3D dimension, and it's so much heavier to actually interact with it. Yeah? So getting back to my space, there are people who have a high frequency, high vibration. They have a consciousness which is moving to that level. But then once they're in that level, their frequency changes and they become more observant to other species who are in that dimension, and also the six dimensional levels, another higher frequency upwards. So that's how I see it. And that's how I see it. There's like, you become more obvious and then you start to see more at that level. You start to, you are more likely to be involved in it. Right? So there's any number of things that, you know, that, you know, we're in a 3D, which is, you know, it's very constructed. It's very, it's a heavier, slower vibration, has a different perspective caught in a matrix of, you know, others' creation. Whereas the 5D, it is about different frequency. And certainly the six dimensional frequency, that's also full of many, which I believe are full-blooded humans, as well as hybridized species as well within that particular groups. And so I'll get onto that, but I mean, I look at some of the people, because I deal with people who've been abducted, and there's plenty of downsides to being caught in that sort of thing. The health of people who've been abducted, as you know, James, there are many people who've got, you know, they've been taken as children. They've got PTSD. They haven't remembered their experience consciously, but at a very unconscious, subconscious level, they have some awful experiences. So their body consciousness remembers, their heart remembers, their soul remembers. So they can have any number of health issues. In my case, you know, I've had health issues as a result of it. And it could be, you know, certainly the PTSD is one, and any number of issues. Say, for instance, if you've got implants, your body is actually reacting to those implants. And if your body is reacting to those implants, then it's actually creating its own fight back, right? It feels like it's got an enemy that it's got to fight against. And that is the makings of somebody who's really got an autoimmune condition, right? The body is fighting back against something which is an enemy within itself. So any number of things, you know, including diabetes, including any arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, any number of arthritic conditions as well. Asthma is another one, right? The makings of any other things like MS or whatever, right? These autoimmune conditions can be as a result of a fight back in one's own system in the body. Some part of that body knows that they've got something in it. So it's understanding, but that doesn't mean everybody that's got those particular conditions has been abducted. I'm not making that sort of point. I'm just saying that that is one of the points for those people who've got the PTSD and the fight back there. Yeah. So some of the downsides, definitely. Yeah. But you know, there is so much sort of you know, frequency in this world. I think we're being bombarded. We just talked earlier about you know, those the energies and the bombing and all of that sort of bio warfare that we're dealing with, and that's certainly, that side's not done by a six-dimensional group that really has our best interests at heart, as we know. And but you know, one of the things that I've realized that with the current circumstances, radionics is used really, really quite intensely.
Could you define like radionics and also the difference between dimensions and density?
Well, okay, so the dimensions are a vibrational frequency, right? And people need to be at a vibrational frequency to actually move, ascend, to actually be at that part of dimension. But within those dimensions, there is a denseness of energy, right? And it could be that, say, for instance, fifth dimensional frequency may have a density of fourth dimension as well, right? And a sixth, maybe fifth. So the density is actually how it actually is to be part of that denseness. I can't go into the whole physics of how it works, but that's generally what it is. Because you go into 6D, and I think, you know, I have been there. I've been quite a few times into that dimension. It's a very, very different frequency. It's a different, everything is speeded up, right? It's fast. You vibrate faster, right? So it's a higher density, right? You come back and be brought down into a 3D frequency, right? And the density shifts to something very, very heavy and slow, right? And I have to say, this is probably getting back to that understanding is this is one of the key reasons for a lot of abductees to have problems health-wise, because if they aren't really looked after or cared for, they're not, they don't have the proper suitage, they're not suited up for it. They might wrap a child in a blanket, but they don't necessarily realize that when they come down from 6 to 3D, there's a rapid shift in frequency, and there'll be also with that a shift in the frequency of the person's body, so a lot of shock that goes with it. And one of the key things of shock like that moving is water displacement in the body. So your own water levels, hydration, water levels in the body, and our body's made up of about 80% water. So that sort of becomes a water displacement issue. Right, okay. So radionics is one of the key things that I'm usually interested in. And we talked about density, we talked about dimensions. And it really comes down to everything's energy. It's all about energy and vibration. So radionics is a very key thing in terms of how another dimension may use it, either for their own healing processes or through using it for a weapon, a harm. And I believe a lot of the diseases that are actually created on this world are due to bandwidths of frequency of radionics, right? And for those of us who understand radionics and homeopathics and things like that, it's you can use radionics, for instance, to put a healing process into something. In terms of a lot of pests in fields and in paddocks of food, they can use a radionics vibration to get rid of the pests, the rats, the mice, or whatever, without poisoning the crop, right? But of course, you know, there's another side that doesn't want that to happen. They want to keep actually using pesticides and things like that. So, but in terms of radionics, we talked about why would people want to be, moving to a fifth dimensional reality if the likelihood is that they are they are open to frequencies that may be used in those. And I understand that those radionics frequency can be used as punishment in sixth dimension. And from my interaction with those in sixth dimension, it's not a nice place. A lot of the attacks on those that are actually ordinary beings in that world can be of a radionics format. And so it can be quite disastrous. And I personally have been under that same particular attack in this dimension, right, from another level. So I'll explain a little bit more about that. But I mean, there are any number of beings that are interacting in our world, in a 3D world, operating amongst us without us even being aware of it. Like, for instance, in our shopping centres, down in our shopping centres and our malls, there's little characters which are hybridised. People don't see them because they're in a different frequency. I see them. I know they're there. And quite often I have to clear them out of the people's minds, because what they do is they seem to get into their mind, leave a little tag of energy, and then they become like a person of interest. But while that particular energy is of their mind in a person, they get really stressed. There's a very high level of mental activity stress that can go. I've even seen people's eyes have actually changed from their normal round to an oval shape. And I know that they have been infected by these particular hybrids. Right? Now, they live there, and I think they are actually either employed by the other levels to stay there and influence humans, keep an eye on humans, report back. In fact, some of the other ones which I call watchers, they can be the very tall, very, very tall, and they almost look androidic looking, and they do have AI attached in their eyes, and they send information back somewhere, and they can connect into a person, log in through their eyes, their mind, into their brain, and start interacting and connecting them to an AI situation. Now, they aren't very nice. That really upsets the whole system of a human if they've been caught in that. The hybrids are annoying, yes, but I think they also are very aware that if they don't do their job, they can easily get wiped out. You know, they can easily get wiped out by the other levels who are watching them. Right? They might every now and then go and pick them up, whatever, put another group down. They move around amongst us. They catch buses, they catch trains, whatever. They might be more likely to be in shopping centres than the big watchers. They're more likely to be in transit stations, bus stations, train stations. Airports. And they ride around with people as well, get from place to place, but nobody sees them.
Like your average human would not be able to perceive them in the visual spectrum.
No, absolutely. It's not in their brain a capability to do that because they haven't been trained with that. But the fact that we've been in that dimension, there are parts of our brains and our eyes that actually can see that. They may not be clear totally all the time. We might see like an image or a shadow or something. And I think many of us might go, I can see these things moving, shadows moving. What are they, ghosts or whatever? Well, sometimes they're actually beings from other dimensions. I've had them slip into my house, through a portal. I've seen shadowy figures watching and things like that. So there's any number of beings that are interacting with us, involved with this, interfering with humans at our level and causing a ruckus. In fact, one particular experience with I went to a Cher concert in Sydney with a friend. And of course, Cher's very, very popular in the LGBTQ community. And so it was very much a lot of that sort of energy in the place. But I felt at some point curiously challenged about being a heterosexual. And then when I got outside that building, I was actually a relief, even though I enjoy the concert. It was like I heard in my mind, shut down, close, just observe. And then I shut down my frequency, cat myself down. And then I scanned and I went, oh, my goodness, there is a very big, tall being over near the wall watching people. Now, this wasn't androidic. This was a very, very tall, probably could have easily been well over seven foot tall, right? Very fair, very blonde. Right, very thin, but he was dressed in sort of cut-off shorts. He had boots that almost looked like they were that poured liquid rubber onto his legs. They were so tight to his legs. Sort of greasy, sort of fairish, whitish hair. Very white skin, a little cap type thing. And he was observing people. He was watching people. And then I saw him move off with the crowd towards the train station from the arena there where we were. And then I actually tuned back to what I was feeling in the actual Cher concert. I am a remote viewer as well. I observe at another level. And I actually realized that he was in there. He was actually part of that process, and his... he must have had some sort of technology in there, because in that little suitcase that he had trailing after him was some sort of technology. And he was actually subliminally putting out energies within the music, within the strobe lighting, to program people within that particular environment. And that sort of makes it a little bit curious about, okay, so they are, is this part of their whole transgender type agenda? Or whatever, and I remember that particular being, and it made me feeling quite sick at the very thought of it. Then you wonder how much is around, and it sort of brings to mind you know, I remember, I think it was Bill Chalker's book, Hair of the Alien, and he talks about Peter Curry's experience with the very tall blonde women that actually his sexual experience with them. And I wonder whether this is actually a male of the same species, of the same hybridized species, which would be six dimensional because of the frequency of him. So how much more of that is sort of in our environment impacting us? It's hard to know because there's a lot of strange stuff happening in our world these days.
Hold that thought. We've come to the end of the first segment of what's been a fascinating discussion. Could you give our listeners and viewers your website information, Leonie?
Okay, just leoniedavid.com. It's fairly general in terms of spiritual healing processes, but just bear in mind I keep it general in that sense. So leoniedavid.com, leoniedavid.com.
I definitely vouch for her as far as her medical, intuitive, energetic healing abilities. And there are others who can likewise attest to her abilities because personal friends of mine have also sought help from her and have likewise received beneficial results. So we've reached the end of the first segment of the Cosmic Switchboard Show with our special guest, Leonie David. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.